Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Sovereign Grace in Kansas City. This is Pastor Lawrence Justice of the Victory Baptist Church. We are now in the ninth year of these broadcasts over KCXL. Stay tuned as we look into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 11, 9. The title of today's message, How to Avoid Being Murdered by a Dutch Hedonist. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Hedonism is the doctrine that pleasure or happiness is the highest good. It is devotion to pleasure as a way of life. The hedonist says with the rich fool in Luke 12:19, Soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Hedonists are those whom 2 Timothy 3:4 describes as lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The later Roman emperors were notorious for their hedonism. Ours is a hedonistic culture because Americans today, by and large, live for pleasure. Partying is on the minds and lips of most Americans. The philosophy of hedonism has even leaked over into Christianity in the recent theological fad called Christian hedonism. Two sins that are prominent among today's hedonists are drunkenness and sexual indulgence. The two things that are most important in their lives, the things they look forward to the most, are going to drinking houses and satisfying their appetites for illicit sex, or, as one preacher has put it, the bottle and the bed. Hedonists love to drink. They set their hearts upon it for the sake of the pleasure of drinking, for the sake of gratifying a sensual appetite. Isaiah 56:12 describes those who love liquor. When it says, Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. American university campuses today are basically just huge drinking opportunities. American young people seem to want to go to places like Aruba and Cancun because there are few or no laws in those places to keep them from drinking all they want. Isaiah 5:11 pronounces woe on those who focus on drinking like this. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. By drinking like this, people lose their inhibitions. They lose control of their minds and bodies. Drinking like this quickly removes one's command of his passions. Drinking lays people open to Satan's temptations to other sins and makes them easy prey for those temptations. Under the influence of alcohol, a person neither fears God nor regards man, nor has any government of himself. What sin will a man or woman not commit when he or she neither knows nor cares what he is doing? Wicked people often take advantage of those who drink heavily to lead them into sin. Habakkuk 2:15 condemns those who lead people to drink in order to take advantage of them sexually. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. A drunkard is a person who gets drunk. 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10 says that no drunkard is going to heaven. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to me. You who enjoy drinking and getting drunk, either God's word is untrue, or else you are going to hell. That's what the Word of God said. The other most prominent sin of hedonism is what we call sexual indulgence and what God's Word calls uncleanness. So many people today live in the fires of lust and wallow in the filth of fornication. Sexual sin abounds everywhere, and while so much of it comes to light, much more of it lies concealed. Sexual sin is like an iceberg. 7/8 of it is below the surface. God's seventh commandment forbids all sexual indulgence outside of marriage. God says in Exodus 20:14, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." In Galatians 5:19-21, God's Word talks about the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you notice that the first four works of the flesh are all seventh commandment sins? Sins that have to do with sexual indulgence. Sexual sin is contrary to God and His holiness. God is an holy spirit. His holiness is His glory. A person contradicts God's very nature when he wallows in moral uncleanness. Nothing is more contrary to God's holy nature than the corruption that is in the world through lust, as 2 Peter 1:4 calls sexual sin. Sexual uncleanness is sin against God. When Joseph was tempted to this sin, he called it great wickedness because it is a sin against God. In Genesis 39:9, Joseph says to the woman who tried to seduce him to this sexual sin, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Sexual sin brings awful guilt. This is one of those great sins God's Word calls crimson and scarlet. Your conscience may not bother you now, but it will after a while, and you will deeply regret your sexual sin. Suffering a guilty conscience now and suffering eternally in hell later on is the future of all who commit this sin. Philippians 3:19 says that if your God is your belly, meaning your sensual appetites, if you are a hedonist, your end is destruction. The feet of the immoral woman go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell, says Proverbs 5:5. Romans 8:13 says, "If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." Sexual sin, uncleanness, is one of the things for which Colossians 3:5 and 6 says, "The wrath of God comes on the disobedient." Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for the which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The Associated Press has widely reported the following information. On May 30th, 2005, a Birmingham, Alabama high school graduate named Natalie Holloway disappeared on the Caribbean island of Aruba. This blonde-headed teenage girl was in Aruba as part of a group of about 100 high school seniors and 7 chaperones who were on a senior trip not sponsored by their school. This young girl was last seen getting into a car and leaving a nightclub before dawn on Monday morning. She had spent Sunday evening at a popular dance club called Carlos and Charlie's, and was last seen with a Dutch-born man, a local resident, whose name is Joran Vandersloot. The Holloway family attorney told Greta Van Susteren of Fox News Network that another local named Deepak Kalpo has admitted having sexual relations with Natalie while she was under the influence of either alcohol or drugs. Natalie's mother has also stated publicly that Joran Vandersloot and Deepak Kalpo have admitted having sex with Natalie while she was slipping in and out of consciousness from being drunk. As a result of this night of drinking and debauchery, Natalie's reputation is ruined. Her parents have been dishonored, and Natalie, in all likelihood, is dead. Joran Vandersloot is presumed by law enforcement authorities to have murdered Natalie. In this message, I want to review for you some things God's Word has to say about how to avoid being murdered by a Dutch hedonist or any other kind of hedonist. In preaching this message, I hope to awaken some who may be headed toward these sins to the extreme danger they are in, both in this life and in the life to come. Please don't get mad at me for what I'm saying. Somebody always gets mad when God's preacher dares to tell the truth about sin. Don't consider me your enemy for trying to warn you of the extreme danger you are in if you live this way. I would ask you what Paul asked the people in Galatia, in Galatians 4:16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So let us look now at how to avoid these sins. My object in the remainder of this message is to show you in God's Word some important means of avoiding these two specific sins of hedonism, and thereby perhaps even help you to avoid being murdered by some lustful hedonist. There are six of these. Six things to do in order to avoid being murdered by a Dutch hedonist. Number one, recognize and believe the truth of our text in Ecclesiastes 11:9, that you will be brought to God's judgment for your sins of hedonism. Let's look at our text again, Ecclesiastes 11:9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Using sarcasm, the writer, in the first part of this verse, assumes the role of a hedonist and counsels the young whom he is addressing to give themselves up to pleasure. He urges them to the joys of a life of unrestrained pursuit of pleasure. But then he suddenly lays aside this character of a hedonist and with all spiritual seriousness points the young person to the coming judgment and the great reckoning that will come there for those who live as the writer has just urged on his young readers. At first he says, let your heart be gratified with all the pleasure you can get in life. Go to the club. Go to the dance hall. Go to the beer joint and take in all the pleasure you crave. Live it up. But remember the judgment and remember the certainty of your being brought to it. Remember wherever you go and whatever you do, the judgment lies ahead and you will be brought there to answer for your deeds. In that day, every secret will be brought out into the open. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, the writer goes on to say in Ecclesiastes 12:14. Our text tells why you will be brought to judgment when it says, for all these things, meaning the things specified in the first part of our text, hedonism, giving yourself up to a life of pursuing pleasure. It will be God who will bring you to the judgment. God who gave all the blessings you so perverted in your pursuit of pleasure. It will be God who has kept an exact, detailed record of your every deed, word, and thought from the moment of your birth. It will be God who is absolutely holy and absolutely just and who will by no means clear the guilty. It will be God who has all the means of punishment in His hands. How will you account to God for your life of pleasure-seeking when you're brought before Him at the judgment? At the judgment, all who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God will hear that dreaded sentence, "Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." So, the number one thing to do in thinking about how to avoid being murdered by a Dutch hedonist is remember that the judgment lies ahead. Secondly, how to avoid being murdered by a Dutch hedonist? Stay away from places of sin. Carefully avoid the places of temptation to those sins. Stay away from places like Carlos and Charlie's. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says for Christians to avoid even the very appearance of evil. Clubs and dance halls have the appearance of evil. But preacher, this is really a hot spot right now. Everybody's going there. Listen, everybody's doing it. Never justifies going to places of sin. Exodus 23:2 says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." A club or a dance hall is no place for you to go if you love your own eternal soul. Frequent visits to such places lessens one's dread and hatred of the sins that go on there. The adulteress's house is no place for you if you value your purity and honor and peace of mind. Proverbs 5:8 says, "Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house." When you go into a place of sinful pleasure, how do you know that death won't meet you there? Evidently, death met Natalie Holloway there. Who can give you assurance that that late-night revel will not be the time when your soul will be required of you? Evidently, it was for Natalie Holloway. Thirdly, how to avoid being murdered by a Dutch hedonist? Shun people who are involved in these sins. Carefully avoid these people, because they will lead you into these sins. The company of the wicked endangers those who are good. Associating with drunkards and loose livers will lead sooner or later to the corruption of your morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says that evil communications corrupt good manners. You're going to have to tell your wicked worldly friends that you can't run around with them because you cannot preserve your virtue in their company. You will have to lose your wicked friends rather than lose God and your eternal soul. You'll have to say to them with David in Psalm 119, verse 115, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." Fourthly, how to avoid being murdered by a Dutch hedonist? Run away from temptation to sexual sin. Proverbs 4, 14 and 15 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." 1 Corinthians 6:18 says we are to flee fornication. Don't ever put yourself in any situation that might lead to these sins. Eve was halfway to sin when she stopped to talk with the devil and was willing to hear what he had to say. Joseph ran out of the house of the woman who tried to seduce him. Genesis 39:10-12 says, "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time, that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and fled, and got him out." If you play frisbee around the edge of the Grand Canyon, you are in real danger of falling into the canyon. Beware of everything that leads to uncleanness. Suggestive TV programs, sex education classes at school, dirty jokes, social dancing, ballroom dancing is built on lust. Stay away from it. Pray daily that God would lead you away from these temptations and deliver you from the evils that follow them. Number five, keep your body under disciplined control at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5:7 and 8 tells Christians to be sober instead of drunk. But they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Resolve firmly that in God's strength you will never get drunk. Resolve that with God's help you will never go to the clubs and the taverns. Do as Job did, and make a covenant with your eyes where temptation usually enters, that you will not even look at things that may tempt you to the sin of uncleanness. Job says in Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Finally, the most important means of all by which to avoid being murdered by a Dutch hedonist is to make sure you are regenerate and thus have true grace in your heart. This is essential to effectively fortify you against yielding to temptation. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us it is impossible for the unregenerate or natural man to understand or even appreciate spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This is why the Lord Jesus says in John 3:7, ye must be born again. The new birth can conquer and change the most vicious of habits. God's grace can change one's nature, overcome his lust, and give him a desire for purity and holiness and godly living. Pray for God's regenerating, saving, life-changing grace if you would avoid these hedonistic sins we've been talking about today. The two most prominent sins of today's hedonists are drunkenness and sexual impurity. It was sins like these that caused God to be manifest in the flesh, that caused the Creator to be made a creature, the God of life to be put to death. These and other sins are what brought the Son of God to this earth as a man, to shed his precious blood and die on Calvary's cross. Sin is what killed the Lord Jesus Christ. It was sin that murdered the Lord of glory. We should hate it and turn from it with loathing. Today, if you have seen yourself as a lost sinner, you have no more time for your hedonistic pleasure. You need every precious second now to prepare for the eternity that lies ahead. Turn from your partying and drunkenness today. Repent of your uncleanness and be deeply humbled before God today. Resolve by the grace of God to stop these wicked practices and never return to them again. Trust in Jesus Christ the Savior, whose death on the cross satisfied God's wrath against your sins, and whose perfect righteous life God accepts in your behalf to allow you into His holy presence and fellowship. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. We're thankful for the grace of God that works the new birth and regenerates sinners' hearts, enabling them to hate sin and love righteousness, to hate sin and love Christ, to hate sin and turn from it and desire to be saved. Father, we pray today that You would save lost sinners listening to this broadcast. We pray that You'd bring them to repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ. God, have mercy on our wicked nation, our hedonistic nation of America today. We pray that You would turn around this headlong slide into hedonism and wickedness, sexual impurity, uncleanness, all of these terrible things that we see about us, drunkenness in our nation today. We pray that You'd send revival before it's everlastingly too late for our nation. We pray these things in the blessed and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His sake. Amen. Are you looking for a church that has Christ-centered doctrinal preaching of God's Word? Are you tired of the games and contests and programs and bus ministries and concerts and contemporary music and preachers who try to be comedians and church politics and religious entertainment instead of worship? If you answered yes to these questions, then Victory Baptist Church is the church you may be looking for. Why not come and worship with us today? At Victory Baptist Church, 9601 Blue Ridge Extension in Kansas City, Missouri. This is Pastor Lawrence Justice saying so long for today. Be sure to join us again next week at this same time here on KCXL for the Voice of Sovereign Grace in Kansas City.